This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, when you're a kid, you're scared of all kinds of things, right? You're scared of the dark. You're scared of ghosts. You're scared of monsters, etc. Well, a kid in Kansas, he told his babysitter that he was scared of the monster under his bed. So naturally, the babysitter attempted to prove to the kid that there's not a monster under the bed. And there was not a monster under the bed. There was, however, a strange man hiding under the kid's bed. Pretty traumatizing, we're sure, but being kidnapped, also pretty traumatizing. And a six-year-old girl, a bunch of girls, 3 girls in Kent, were actually recognized by the FBI. The FBI presented them certificates for, quote, exceptional service in public interest. Why? Because they prevented a six-year-old girl from being kidnapped. So to that, we say good work, ladies. But also that said, we hate that you actually had to witness what you saw. But one of the toughest things about being a kid is when a fear of yours actually comes true. And today, that's what we're talking about. Not necessarily what you were scared of, but of what actually happened. That's right, on this Positive Friday, we're revisiting our childhood trauma. So our question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most?
To be part of the Big Show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like KISW on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
KISW.
Home of Toes, away we go. Welcome to season 20, episode number 4,291. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of Ted versus the FCC is on tap. We go for round two from Joe last week, who stumped you on Ted versus the FCC.
All right.
It is about Chuck, and he can't find his nutty, fat, knuck futs. That's Ted versus the FCC. Coming up at 4:35 today on this So Positive Friday. Oh, what else do we have for you? We will drink and toast to the weekend with a shot of the day. That it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on. And today, we celebrate a pair of legendary birthdays.
All right.
Legendary artist, iconic as hell. But they're old, and they're getting up there. Believe it or not, turning 62 years old, that would be one MC Hammer.
And Mike, you were saying earlier that MC Hammer reminds you a lot of your dad.
He does indeed.
Yeah.
Born 2 days later.
Yeah. He doesn't tour, did he quit?
Yeah, when I look at your dad, I think Hammer.
Damn straight. He wears the parachute pants and all, man.
Yeah. He's always saying Hammer time.
I tell you what, man. Growing up, everyone had those pants.
Oh, yeah,
if you could find them, you bought them.
All right.
Yeah, it was the style back in the day.
My dad included, the entire closet,
your father included, yeah.
Lined with parachute pants.
Yeah.
MC Hammer. Once. And too legit to quit, he'll be 62 years old, taking on the lead singer of the band Toto, Bobby Kimball.
Meet you all the way.
Yeah, it's good bass line.
Damn right.
Meet you all the way.
Now,
You love air bases. You love Rosanna. You love Africa. You maybe even love Hold the Line. But did you know that the lead singer of Toto is Bobby Kimball?
I did not know that.
He is 78 years old.
I knew that.
Yeah,
of course.
You did not know the lead. We even watched the Yacht Rock documentary. He was heavily featured.
And I still didn't know his name.
Oh, that's the lead singer of Toto.
Yeah.
No idea.
So I'll tell you what, man. This is a banger, though.
Bobby Kimball, 78 years old, and Rosanna. From Toto, taking on MC Hammer. Too legit to quit.
It's fun. I turned on a couple of buddies to Toto a couple of weeks ago, right? They're having, like, this big 80s kind of party, right? So the only song they knew from Toto was Africa. And then Hold the Line, we're watching all these videos, Hold the Line popped up. And they're like, dude, this song jams, man. I didn't know Toto had it in him.
Yeah, man,
Africa's kind of an outlier. So they basically downloaded everything that Toto does.
You know what I remember with Toto? They are the band on Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah.
Correct. So
yeah.
Even Human Nature is written by Toto.
I know.
Like, it's just, it makes no sense. But either way, Toto Rosanna taking on MC Hammer. Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live.
And in Toto's defense, when you watch that documentary, they're like, we made the music. Like, we heard the lyrics. And we were like, Jesus, man.
Oh, for Africa?
Yeah, that was the last song on the album.
Correct. It was a final thought to put it on there, and it became like basically the song of Toto.
I just think it was funny to see the guys in the band. Like, it is not lost on us, white guys. Yes. We made the song,
and we rhyme with Serengeti.
Serengeti.
Never even been to Africa.
No.
Yeah, and they had to do a video acting like they'd been to Africa, and they turned themselves into Raiders of the Lost Ark for that one. That was
terrible.
Man, that was a piece of work. I'll vote now if you follow us on X and Men's Room Live. Will it be MC Hammer or Toto with Bobby Kimball? All right. Our question today, we're going to talk about growing up and things that scare you. Now, obviously, when you grow up, you have a lot of irrational fears.
Sure.
Being a child, whether it's just the dark or the closet door being open.
Still bugs me now, man.
But whatever your thing is, it just kind of sticks in your head. And your imagination is running wild when you're growing up as far as bad things that can happen. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, I went into my parents' room and just had a bad dream or was just scared. I don't know what I was scared of, but I was scared of something. There was a bat in my room one night. And it was flying around. And my stepfather, he came in the room with my wiffle ball bat. The very thin
yellow
wiffle ball bat. So I wake up to... I have no idea what's going on. I sit up in bed and I see the silhouette of what looks to be Luke Skywalker fighting in my bedroom.
Right.
I realize that is, in fact, my stepfather. And there's a bat flying around my room. Now, he leaves. I'm sitting up now, and I see said bat, and the bat is flying around the room. My stepfather goes downstairs. He gets his Wilson wooden tennis racket. He comes back up with a bigger head, and all of a sudden, thump.
Yeah.
He nails this bad boy. Stuns the bat, basically puts the bat on the netting of the tennis racket, flicks the bat out the window. All right? I am not scared of this bat. I am sitting up. I am watching it fly around my room. My stepfather's trying to get rid of it. He seems a little bit more panicked than I am.
Sure.
But in all honesty, that should have been a scary moment. Was I scared? I was not. Am I scared that my closet door is cracked open? Yes, I am. So it's kind of weird. Things that, you know, you're scared of in scary situations, whether you realize it or not, maybe looking back, you go, hey, that was pretty scary.
Yeah.
But you don't know. I mean, I remember at one point in time that the moment where my heart was beating out of my chest, where I was absolutely terrified. In the area we lived in, there was a department store called Hills. Hills was like a Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
It's your basic, you know, just all right. Big outdoor, a single Target size building department store. And at the time, my mom was driving a Volkswagen bus. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know the logic behind it. I don't know if my mom just did not set the emergency brake. I don't know if she used... I know for a fact that she would leave the car in gear. So the car wouldn't move. It wouldn't roll, right? Well, I learned that the hard way, because when she went and ran into Hills, I went up to the front to get something out of whatever, the glove compartment, and I knocked the gear out of first gear and into neutral. Now, on a Volkswagen bus... Believe it or not, the gear shift was about 2 feet, 3 feet long.
So it's about 3 feet tall, yeah.
And it was on the floor, all right? So it was a big gear shift, and I either kicked it or whatever I did,
and it was right in between the driver and the passenger seats. I kicked it, and the van began to slowly roll. Now, I did not know that the van was rolling at first because it was rolling so slowly that I could not tell that the van was moving.
Yeah.
All right, so I go back to my back seat, and I look, and it looks like cars are passing the van.
Right, right.
And I realize, no, I'm going backward. And not only am I going backward, but Hills was on a hill looking over a river. So the way
Hills kind of has to be.
The way that the parking lot was sloped, it sloped where you go over this big hill. There are no trees. There are train tracks. Then there's the Monongahela River. Now, I was able to jump up. Thank God that car did not have power steering or power brakes.
Right.
I could stomp on the actual brake pedal and stop the bus. So I ran up to the front, but now I am basically blocking the intersection to Hills. The way how far this van rolled before I could figure out how to stop it.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely terrified. And my mom walked out. And she looked to where the van should be, and the van is now about 75 yards from where she parked it. at the very end of the parking lot where the entrance is to come in from the road.
Yeah.
And that's where her van is. And she starts running toward the van, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Here it comes.
I was terrified. I was scared. Nothing happened to the car. Nothing happened to the bus. It was perfectly fine. It was a moment of panic trying to figure out if I could stop the van before it went over the hill. And, you know, when you jump up in the seat as a kid, and I wasn't very old, I was probably 6 years old or whatever, yeah, I couldn't touch the pedal. So I had to jump down and just lay my foot on the brake. So when my mom came to the car, she couldn't see me inside because I was basically on the floor of the driver's side.
Keeping the brake down, right?
Pressing the brake.
Yeah.
All right. Because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know if I let that thing up, if it would keep rolling, whatever the deal was. And she was like, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Because at that time, I did not know what I had done.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, did you knock the gear shift? And I was like, I don't think so, but I must have. She's like, yeah, the car was in first gear. That's how I parked it. And you must have knocked it out. And I mean, I was crying. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to go over that hill backwards in a Volkswagen bus. And that was the first time in my life where I can remember being, it was just a different level of being scared. It was real. It was real at the time.
Yeah. I think the scariest moment I had as a child, and maybe a month before this happened, I had a sleepover at my buddy's house. My buddy had HBO. We watched Friday the 13th. And the movie itself did not scare us. We were intrigued by the boobs, right? So there's murder and all that. But the movie just didn't scare us. But we understood what the premise was. But keep in mind, at that time, we lived in the woods. Now, I don't know where my parents went this night. Maybe they went out to dinner, a movie, whatever. But they left me home alone, which is cool because I'm a kid. But I'm downstairs. And I'm watching whatever I'm watching on TV. And I'm not watching anything scary or anything like that. But it was summertime. So we had a sliding glass door. The screen was closed. But when you looked out the back, we had maybe 10 feet of gravel. And that's just woods. I mean, it is forest, which is basically the setting for Friday the 13th. All right. So I'm watching whatever I'm watching. But I hear these footsteps very slowly going through the brush that's out in the woods. And at first, I'm telling myself, like, you're not really hearing that. But then at some point, you have to acknowledge, like, dude, you are hearing someone or something is walking through the woods. So the way the room was set up, the back of the sofa is facing the sliding glass door. So I've now pulled my ass off the sofa, and I'm peeking around the edge because I hear something out there in the woods. And it's at night, man, and you can't really see anything until you get right up to the house. So I'm really starting to freak out, and it seems like these footsteps last forever. It's probably a minute to 90 seconds or something, but the only thing I picture in my head now, of course, is Jason Voorhees, right? That's right. I've just seen, and like I said, the movie was not scary, but the idea that there's someone in the woods walking toward the house, which they clearly were, was freaking me out. So I'm peeking around the sofa, and I'm staring out into the woods. You know what I mean? Like, I'm shaking, and like you said, man, your heart is pounding. I'm assuming the worst, and even though I was probably 10 or 11 years old, so I'm old enough to rationalize, like, the likelihood of a guy in a hockey mask with a knife walking through the woods seems unreasonable. But then on the other hand, that's the only thing.
Well, you're also in upstate New York.
So I'm in upstate
New York. There are a lot
of
hockey players out there.
Right. And I mean, I am freaking terrified, man. And finally, I see the grass kind of part a little bit, and the thing that had been walking through the woods kind of gets into the floodlights of the house. It was a groundhog. That was it. That's all. Yep. I don't know what thing's walking so slow, but I mean, you could just hear this thing coming, and all I see are the trees. And I'm like, this is how I'm going to die. I'm going to be stabbed to death by freaking Jason Voorhees. It's a groundhog. And then when I pop up from behind the sofa, this thing looks at me, I look at it, and it takes off running.
This story is going to be one that's for the rest of your life. If you are involved in it, this is a story that you will tell someone. A babysitter in Kansas made a shocking discovery while attempting to prove to one of the children she was looking after, there are not monsters hiding underneath your bed. Now, this happened on Monday, all right? At about 10:30 in the evening, authorities responded to a disturbance call just outside of the city of Great Bend in Kansas. Upon arrival, the deputies contacted the victim, who stated she was babysitting children at the residence. When putting the children to bed, one child was complaining that there was a monster under their bed. Now, when the victim attempted to show the child, look, there's no monster under your bed, she came face to face with a man, a male suspect, who was hiding under the bed. An altercation ensued with the babysitter. One child was knocked over in the struggle. The suspect then fled the scene before deputies arrived. Martin Villalobos Jr. has been arrested, and he was transported to jail. They stated that the suspect had once lived at the residence, but there was currently a protection from abuse order issued against him to stay away from the property.
Okay.
So, obviously, he had been there before. Now, despite being unable to locate Villalobos Jr. after searching the area, on the evening he was found under the bed, officers continued to look for him the following morning. And he was seen, at which point he attempted to flee from law enforcement. And after a short foot pursuit, he was captured, according to the police. Officers confirmed the suspect had been booked on requested charges of aggravated kidnapping, aggravated burglary, aggravated battery, child endangerment, felony obstruction of a law enforcement officer, and violation of a protection from abuse order. He's being held on $500,000 bond. The cops are not responding. They don't know if this guy was more of a stalker, if it was someone who was mentally unstable, confused, and still believed that he lived or had the right to live in that residence.
But why would you be under the bed? Like, if he walked into the house and sat on the living room sofa, you could make the argument that maybe he's confused and thinks he has a right to be there.
Yeah.
But if you're hiding under the bed, then on some level, you know that what you're doing is wrong.
So like something in your head knows.
Right. Then you eliminate that. Like, he's obviously disturbed because, again, you're hiding under a kid's bed.
And
but
you obviously have a disturbed look about you because, you know, if I would just guess, depending on the age of the child says, there's a man under my bed.
As opposed to a monster.
Instead of a monster. So I would have to think that there was something about this guy that was not easy on the eyes, so to speak. Smell-wise, something about this guy was not... I mean, I don't identify someone who is ugly as a monster or whatever the deal is. I mean, as a child, you definitively know if it's an adult or a monster. This kid thought there was a monster under the bed.
But do you think the kid saw the guy under his bed or... Maybe the guy shifted or something, you know, when the kid's in bed and you go, all right, there's definitely something under my bed. And then you say, you know, hey, there's a monster. Like, the story's not funny, but it's hard to not smile. Like,
can you throw a pillow down here, kid?
There's nothing under the bed. Jesus Christ, there is something under
me. I need a blanket.
I'd take that porcelain doll from, I take the guy over the porcelain doll from Poltergeist under the bed.
I agree. Yeah.
The clown thing, whatever the hell that was. I'd rather have a dude.
Because that's just... That's inexplicably terrifying.
Right.
The doll. Right.
The dark you can explain.
You don't like it. It is not great. You feel a lot less secure. But
I know how to take out the dude under the bed.
You can punch a guy in the face. But all the horror movies you're seeing, like, you got that weird doll, bro. Like, everything's out of your control.
Ghost and clown good. Doll?
Yeah.
Yep. Can't happen.
Nothing good happens.
Our question on the So Positive Friday, growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK. Our question on the So Positive Friday, growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, bitches.
Hola.
So, Miles reminded me of a quick story. When I was, probably 10, my dad used to make me stay in the truck while he'd run into my, at the time, step-grandpa's house.
All right.
And I was sitting in the front. It was just a single bench seat truck. And I was sitting in the front seat. I started playing around the steering wheel and stuff and knocked it into neutral. And it was on like an incline. It started rolling back. My first thought was, get the hell out of the truck. So I jumped out rather than hitting the brake. And I was fine, but the truck rolled into a tree. And I guess it was fine, too. But, yeah, my dad came out and was like, dude, I've, like, let you drive before. Why didn't you hit the brake? And
yeah. Panic, man.
Yeah, just in that moment, your mind just doesn't know what to do sometimes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going down with this ship. anyway, so a couple of years later, the old man was finally teaching me to use all his tools in his shed. And I swear we had like a whole week of like, he taught me to use a chainsaw, which scared the hell out of me. Right. And like a skill saw and all the things. And finally, I was just hammering some nails one day. And I think someone pulled up in the driveway and he turned around and started talking to his buddy or something like that. And, dude, I was just swinging this hammer, just swinging away, right? And next thing I know, I feel something when I went back with it. And I looked back, and my dad, he didn't, like, pass out, but he dropped to the ground holding his head and, like, let go of his hands, and I could see the blood on his hands. And, I mean, even just talking about, yeah, scariest moment, like, still probably ever with anybody. Like, I struck him in the head with the back of the claw of the hammer.
Jesus, man.
Did you put two big marks in his head?
Oh my god! He's wearing a hat, and I think that protected him a little bit.
A little,
but man, no, there's no marks on his head or anything. But man, I was only, like I said, I was just kidding, man. I scared the hell out of me. I thought I killed my dad. Like I was talking,
okay.
Was he mad about it, or was he just like?
He was kind of the quick to get angry type, but I mean, he got upset, but I don't know. I think he was just kind of in shock, but he just kind of ran out of the house and nothing really became of it. We didn't ever really talk about it and we moved on.
Not much to talk about, right, man. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. I hit you in the head with a hammer. Sorry, man.
My bad.
Yeah.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Peter. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
I'm still recovering from the hammer to the head story. Wow. Anyways, I had a scary moment when I was a kid in coming back from school. We lived in one of the like condo buildings with an elevator. So I, with my backpack, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years old or something, maybe 11. I get on the elevator and it has one of those skinny like windows, and I press my floor, and right as I start going, this dude in the trench coat runs up. And he's holding this satchel in his hand, kind of like a brain. And he like started like shaking it to the window. And I see that, and it took me a second to like realize what's going on. And I started like pressing the alarm button, screaming. And then when I got out on my floor, I started kicking on all the neighbors' doors, and they came out and he was already gone. But yeah.
So you get down an elevator and a dude in a trench coat shakes his testicles at you.
Yeah, so he like jumped out from like the staircase from around. I didn't see him, you know. He was just waiting there. He probably saw me getting on, and right as the door closed, there's this little like skinny window, you know, in the metal door. And he just ran up, and he was holding the brain, so there was no twig, and he was all like shaking it through the window, dude, as I was going up screaming like pedo and freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's a little weird, man.
That's super weird, dude.
All right. Yes, it is.
I'm sorry that happened to you, bro.
Of course you're scared. Normally you should be. Normally don't have that happen to you until you work in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Aiden. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
Positive Friday.
Hell yeah, positive Friday.
Yeah, no, my story was like one that I never actually really thought about because I grew up with a big dog. But there were many times where I saw like big scary dogs when I was a kid. And there was one time where I saw a dog when I was walking to my friend's house I was like halfway to my friend's house and the dog seemed pretty nice. And when I like crouched down to like try and pet it, it immediately started growling and ran at me. And I was like halfway across the neighborhood street. I ran back all the way across the street into one of my old friend's yards and jumped onto his fence. And right before I jumped onto his fence, I felt the dog latch on to my butt. And dude, that hurt so bad. I never thought about how much aggressive dogs scared me until like I saw them. That dog wasn't aggressive that day until I got close. And I was barely didn't go fast enough. And he got me on right on my right butt cheek, I think.
And did he keep holding on or did he let go of you?
Oh, the second he got me, he let go. And then I was able to jump up onto the fence that was in front of me. And I just sat there for like 10 minutes. And the dog eventually left and went home probably. I was able to go home myself. But, dude, the bruise you get from a dog biting you that hard is ridiculous. I had that bruise for easily 3 or 4 weeks.
Did your parents take you to the doctor?
Not really, because there was there was many times when growing up that we hurt ourselves and we went to the doctors pretty much for them to tell us that there really isn't anything that we can do other than clean it up and send you on your way. Actually, no, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, with a dog bite, it's different, yeah, man. Because you know they worry about rabies than anything else.
Disease. Yeah. It's more about that.
I'm pretty sure they did. Now that I'm thinking about it, but since it was a neighborhood dog, my parents went and talked to the people.
I was going to ask you, man. That would be my first move. Is like, look, we just need to make sure that this does not happen again to you or any other kid.
I mean, I don't know what it is, man, but I feel like when I was growing up, you know, everyone had a dog, but no one's dog. No one had a fence, but everyone had an outdoor dog. So a lot of the dogs in the neighborhood knew you, and they were pretty cool. But there were people that had super aggressive dogs, but it still did not make them put the dog inside. So you'd have to deal with these things. Unlike my brother, who's just a dog bite magnet, he got mauled all the time. I mean, homie went to the hospital, and he knew the drill. Like, the dog probably doesn't have rabies, but we're giving you the shot just in case it does. I never got bitten, but I definitely had to square off with a few dogs. But there's two I remember. So there's the people that lived across the street from us in one of the houses. They had this big-ass Doberman. Fritz was his name. And Fritz. For 3 years.
Doesn't seem like a scary name.
Bro, this dog, I mean, it was huge. I mean, it's a Doberman, right? But, I mean, it was just aggressive all the time. They had it on a chain. He had a doghouse. And this thing, every day you go out to the bus stop, and this dog would just growl, snarl, and bark at you. And this, like, for 3 years. So one time I go out to the bus stop, I'm waiting on the bus. Fritz is not on his chain, but Fritz is now walking across the street toward me. And I'm like, this is it, man. I mean, I am petrified. I'm like, this dog's going to... I can't outrun it. I can't make it back to the house. You're just going to have to deal with it. So I pull off my book bag. Fritz walks up to me, gets up on his hind legs, and I'm like, here we go, and gave me a hug. And I cannot explain. This dog, okay, so for every day for 3 years during the school year, this dog snarled at me, barked at me. During the summer, I get on my bike. This dog barked at me, snarled at me, growled, hated everybody. Now he's not on the thing, gets on his hind legs and wraps his, like, four paws around and stood there until the bus got there. And then when the bus, and keep in mind, I'm like petrified because I'm like, this is a setup, right? I mean, like, this cannot be right. Bus gets there. Fritz drops to the ground. I get on the bus. Fritz walks across the street. After that, we were cool. I cannot explain it. I don't know why that happened. I don't know what Fritz's deal was, but I'm like, all you needed was to give me a hug for the last 3 years, and all of this would go away.
To kind of pair it off of that one, my dad had a buddy when I was growing up that we would go over to their house plenty, and they had this giant Great Dane of a dog. Her name was Lola. Love her to death. I love her to pieces now. However, when you're as young as I was, you know, her head comes up to about eye level for me, right? She's huge. And when you're that small, like, dogs that size freak you out a little bit. And I remember we went over there, and I was always a little bit nervous about her just because of her size. But then their kid, who owned the dog, tried to kind of help me and my sisters kind of relax around her. He's like, no, don't worry. She loves to play. Like, she plays tag. I was like, how in the hell, what? He spanks her on the ass and then immediately takes off running. Like, he sprints.
Right.
Lola comes sprinting after him with reckless abandon till she catches up to him, gets, again, up on her hind legs, plants them both in the back of his shoulders, and then pile drives him into the ground. See, it's fun. Like, my ass. No. Love her to death, Lola. I loved Lola after that.
We had the same house where Fritz was. So we lived out in the woods, and if you live out in the cut, you know this to be true. Your mailbox is one of like 15 on a single stand, right? You got to go down the driveway, get your mail, whatever. So there was another dude that lived across the street, but his house, you couldn't see it from the street, but his last name was Hill. He lived at 629 Lake Road. We lived at 628 Lake Road. So every once in a while, he'd get his mail. I decided, you know what? I'm going to be a nice young man. I'm like 11 years old. I'm going to walk the mail over to his house. So I go down his driveway, and I mean, it's this long-ass driveway. There's weeds growing everywhere. I ring his doorbell, and his dog starts barking, which wouldn't be a big deal, but I realize the dog is outside. And I realize the dog had been in the backyard, knows that someone's in the house. So I hear this thing barking, and it is getting closer. And all he had was like a little storm door and then his front door. And I'm like, oh, my God, man. I didn't know this guy had a dog. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I am freaking the hell out. Now, the thing was, one, the guy was in the backyard with his dog, so I did not know that he was with the dog as he approached. But when he turns the corner, I'm shaking. It's just like a chihuahua. It wasn't a chihuahua, but it's like that size.
Right.
But it had the deepest, biggest bark. And I'm like, Jesus, man, if I had known that, I wouldn't have panned. But I'm like, this is it. And I saw that dog. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola! So, Thrill, you were talking about Friday the 13th, and I used to watch like a lot of scary movies with my dad on the weekends when I would, you know, be at his house. You know, the whole divorced kid life.
Yep.
And so, yeah, and so we would watch scary movies all the time. And so I was there for, I think, Halloween one year. I was like 12 or 13. And thankfully, I had my own room, but unthankfully, I didn't have a lock on the door. And he busted open the door with a Jason Voorhees mask on and a chainsaw at full
Jesus
tilt.
Jesus Christ, man.
Just full tilt. And I'm not going to lie. I think I probably peed a little.
Yeah, I bet. He maybe just wanted the next weekend off as far as visitation goes. He probably had a weekend planned away or something like. How old were you?
Well, he was good at that anyway. I was like 12 or 13, man.
How long did it take you to figure out it's your dad?
Well, I think when I was done screaming, I think he took the mask off and I was like, ah, cool. I want to kill my father.
Yeah. Did he just laugh about it and walk out or what?
Oh, yeah. He just laughed about it. He's like, all right, I'm going to go smoke some, you know, some weed and go to bed. I was like,
go cord some wood.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, Dad.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess 12 or 13, you'd think maybe it's okay to mess with a kid like that.
Maybe. I mean,
like 10 or 11, I wouldn't, but I'm like, I don't know.
I feel like when you're like 15, 16, maybe I'd have with you like that. But like, I look at my kids now, you know, they're 14 and almost 13. Still wouldn't do it yet.
No.
Yeah, but like 2 years, I'll pop in. But right now, I'm like, I'm going to scar them for life.
I think the fact that I had girls just put me in protection mode. But if I had a son, I'd probably mess with them all the time.
I mess with them in many, you many know, ways, yeah, but not to scare them.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
Yeah. I have with
more,
them
more to make him laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Okay, so let's go back to 1988, and I had a 66 Malibu, and my friend and I worked at a deli, and he had a little Spitfire. And we would race home down Highway 26 toward the mountains, get off this highway. It was a little foggy this one night, and we were racing back and forth. A couple of gallons of beer that we'd stole from the taps at work. And I ran out of space. I was doing about 45, 50 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden I wasn't. Hit a telephone pole on the right-hand side of my car, apparently wrapped it around in a 360, got out of the car, still there are sparks just running down all over me, and my friend is looking at me like I am dead because he didn't hit the telephone pole. Turn around and see my car, and like, hey, Mikey, we're going to need to get Grandma's tractor to get this thing off of here. And then realize I should be dead.
Just based on the way the car looked?
I love that car so much. And it was... It's hard to explain. It's like the right-hand side of the car hit the pole so hard that it took all of the impact and spun the car around. Well, I was not wearing a seatbelt at all. Again, I don't even know if I had a seatbelt. All I had was a bloody lip.
Well, you got lucky. You got lucky. When you got lucky, that pole didn't fall on you.
I'm sorry, say again.
I said you're lucky that electrical pole didn't fall on you, too.
Well, my grandmother was really pissed off because we woke her up. Because her house is only 200 yards away from what I did. And when we went and got the tractor to pull it off, it was like, yeah. But no, that was the scariest goddamn thing.
Yeah, when you're young, man, you do dumb stuff. That's fine.
You
especially
do.
When you're driving. Hey, I don't know anybody that got a driver's license that didn't wreck their car within at least 2 years.
It doesn't matter your age. Boy up.
As I say, statistically, it doesn't matter what age you get your license. You will be in some type of accident, whether major or minor, within that year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Growing up, what was the moment that scared you the most? 206-803-ROCK.